Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians and the third chapter. We were in Colossians last week as an overall thing, talking about being thankful in a biblical way, that knowing that we are qualified, delivered, transferred, redeemed, forgiven. This is why we can do those things He calls us to do, because of what He has already done. And we're going to look some more at that today. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word, I'm just going to read verses 8 through 10, and we'll be looking at it, and also Ephesians 4, verses 21 through 24. But we're not going to do strict exposition here. We're going to take the idea from the text, but really from what's not in the text. And we're going to call today's message, The Best Way to Start Your Day. The best way, and I really could say the only way, to start your day. Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10. Speak, O Lord. But now, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Heavenly Father, you have told us what you have done and what we are to do with that. Let us not be so spiritual that we go beyond or don't go with what you have actually said and put things in there that aren't there. Help us, Lord. And we know you have helped us. So help this message to engender faith in us that we would walk as you would have us. For we do it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. So, it's Christmas season. I want you to think about a child who's asking for a particular gift. Let's say it's one of your children or grandchildren saying, I want an Xbox, or whatever the popular thing is these days. And it costs money. I want the Xbox, or a bicycle, whatever it may be. I want this. It could be your wife, it could be you, anybody. You want a certain gift, and you keep asking for it over and over again. This is what I want for Christmas. What do you want for Christmas? I want that Xbox. You know, like a girl who's 14 years old, I want that pony. Right? Or that boy that's 15 years old, I want that car. Right? And you ask it for it over and over and over again. You're asking God, I want the job. Whatever it may be, you get it, right? It's almost pestering. It's almost annoying. You're asking for it. And they ask their parents for it continually. And Christmas comes, and there it is, right under the tree. They rip it open, and there's the gift. And they got that Xbox, or whatever it may be. Right? There's a nice bow around the car out in the driveway. He opens the little case, and there's that ring, whatever it may be. You get the gift. Let's go back to the Xbox. So now they've been asking for it, and now they've got it. But they don't enjoy it. It just sits there. And they keep asking for it. As if it isn't there. I want an Xbox. You've already got an Xbox. I want an Xbox. Wouldn't that be silly? Wouldn't that break your heart? Right? You'd be like, oh my goodness. Something's wrong. I don't understand. Now I want to tell you that many Christians do this same sort of thing every single day. They do it for years on end. And they think they're being spiritual, but they're actually being unbiblical. And so they start their day in the wrong way. And they remain defeated and discouraged. But you don't have to. This is not going to be a triumphalistic message. This is not going to be, oh, you're already healed, so just say you're healed and then you will be. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what these verses are talking about. What does it say? Put off, put on. It's talking about being more like Jesus. But there's a way people go about it, and it's just like that little boy or little girl or the child or, you know, the adolescent or whomever. They've been given something, but they keep asking for it as if they haven't been given it. And it's sad. You see, there's a very clear pattern in the New Testament that you're never told what to do before God has told you what He has already done. Every command, every exhortation to faith is grounded in God's grace. For example, if I was to say, you know, if I was wearing a jersey of a certain team, you'd say, that's indicative of the fact that I like this team, right? That's an indicative. Imperative is a command. Indicative is saying what's happening. The indicatives of Ephesians chapters 1 through 3. This is who you are in Christ. This is what the Father, the Son, and the Spirit has done. This is what I'm praying that you understand, that you have the understanding in your head in chapter 1. You have the understanding in your experience, chapter 3. Now, this is what you do. You usually see it moved by the word therefore, indicative to an imperative. I have given you the power to fly. Therefore, go to Atlanta and get my kids. Right? I've given you this bike. Therefore, ride it and go to the grocery store and get me a loaf of bread. Right? That type of thing. It's always that way. You can take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn there real quick because we're going to go back and forth a little bit. I want you to keep your eye on both of these texts. Anybody with me? Well, Paul's writing this in a prison, so there's something there. Verse 21 through 24. Now listen. He says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former nature of life and is corrupted with deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what's going on after you understand what's happened to you. Now remember, we've been in 2 Peter. It's been a couple months since we've been back there. But in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verses 3 through 4, he says you've got the divine power, the divine nature, the divine promises. Then he says, based on that, based on the faith that you've been given, now add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection and love. But it's all predicated on the fact that you've already been given that faith. You've already been given that divine nature, that divine power, these divine promises. Now do it. You're never told what to do unless you're already told what he has done. Now I'm not getting to the point yet. But I need to set this up. Anybody with me? And that way you live the Jesus life. You don't live the Jesus life trying harder. No. You live it by understanding. But there's something else here. You see, the fact that any obedience that's not grounded in the gospel, in other words, what Jesus has done, doesn't have enough power. But with fresh gospel gas in your tank, you can live as God intends for you. But let's go back to that kid. There's a way that people go about things. And it's just like that child who thinks it's right to keep asking for the gift when they've already got it. Are you hearing me? The Bible tells you who you are because of what Christ has done. And only then does it tell you what to do with that. How to live according to that. How to be empowered by that. And you can't just keep saying to yourself, I already know that. No, the more you do know that, the more you do dig down deep, drill down deep in what the gospel really is, that you're qualified, you're redeemed, you're forgiven, you're delivered, you're transferred, then that thankfulness for that is what produces that life in fruitfulness. It's already in you in seed form. We had a friend of ours, one of our members, bring us some seeds today for my wife. Said, these are going to be cool and everything like that. Now, she could have and say, well, you know, Bill, I want some more of these seeds. Well, you planted the seeds. Plant it in your back. No, that's not good enough. What? Right? Bring me the seeds. Here's the seeds. I need more seeds. Well, did you plant the ones? You need more trees? No. What? They didn't work? No. Silly, isn't it? I need to get this into your head because when I make the statement I'm about to make, you're going to go, you're going to be apoplectic. You're going to be like, what? Because there's something that people do all the time. They think they're being spiritual, and they're not. They're not. Again, Peter and Paul and the rest of the people in the New Testament, they preach the principle of Christ, and then they preach how to live like Christ because of that. So what is in the Christian life if you want to grow? And so you should be in your everyday life if you want to set yourself up for growth. Now, this is what I'm talking to you about, how to properly, biblically start your day. And I want you to know something about both these texts, Ephesians 4 and the Colossians 3. It says to put away things. It says to put off those old ways and that old self. And it says to put on the new ways and the new self. But notice, it does not say to pray about it. It just says to do it. Well, just say one more thing. Renewed after the knowledge, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It says to think. In Ephesians 4:23 and Colossians 3:10. Not praying about God helping you to put off the old self and put the new self on, but thinking about how He's enabled you to do it and then doing it. Certainly you should pray every day for God to strengthen and sustain you in your efforts. But to pray for what He's already given you is not a prayer of faith. That's a prayer of unbelief. Praying about how weak you are and how you need God to make you obey may sound spiritual, but it's not scriptural. And this is a big reason why Christians continue to pray for some experience, some feeling, some zap. They want to get zapped, some deliverance, some way to obey, yet they don't see any results. It's because they're like that child who's already been given a gift but keeps asking for it. They're waiting for something that isn't going to happen because it already has. They've got the gift. They just don't have the right mindset to use it. How often do you say, reckon, consider, think, renew, be renewed? This is why. And it breaks God's heart. And He wants you to stop being brokenhearted about it, praying in such a defeated way. Instead, He wants you to enjoy the gift that He's given you. You see, God has already given you what it takes to put off the old self and put the new self on. In fact, in your spiritual position, by being born again, you've already, because it says you've already put the old man off. You've already put the old self off and put the new self on. So in your position, listen to me now, because I'm going to give you something very practical, because the sermon is called The Best Way to Start Your Day. And the best way to start your day is not by praying. Yes, you're going to pray, but I mean the first thing you do. But that's your position. But now you have to put that into practice. Let me say it again. Look at our text in Colossians 3 here. Okay? Colossians 3. You have put it off in terms of position. Look at verses 9 through 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You have done it in terms of position. You're born again. He has done that. He's transferred you from the kingdom of darkness and put you in the kingdom of light. But you must also put it off in practice. Look at verse 8. But now you must put them all away. See? And you don't do that by praying for it. You do that by thinking about it and preaching to yourself. You know how often the New Testament says things like that? Reckon, consider, think, renew your mind. Probably the greatest preacher of the last century was Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he said this, the whole art of Christian living is to know how to talk to yourself. The whole art of Christian living is to know how to talk to yourself. It's a big part of how you triumph in the Christian life. This is a way to start your day by preaching to yourself. Now I'm going to give you three basic steps. You're still going to have to work it out in detail. But this is the start of it. First, you preach to yourself. First, you remind yourself of what Christ has done and who you are because of that. I'm thinking right now, you've got a problem with alcohol. You can't get over it. Keeps coming back. What do? Don't think, oh, I've got to stop that today. You're going to get to that, but do it in the right order. Do it the way the Bible shows you how it's done. The way He teaches you is the way you teach yourself. Can you hear me? First, you remind yourself of what Christ has done, who you are because of that. Jesus is for me. Jesus is with me. I'm a new person in Christ. I'm not the old self. I am the new self. I'm qualified, delivered, transferred, redeemed, forgiven. I have the divine power, the divine nature, and the divine promises. I can put off the old ways and put on the new ways. This is who I will be one day, fully and forever. And I'm on my way today. Preach Galatians 2:20 to yourself. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. There is the gospel and there is the way to grow. It's justification and sanctification. I've already been crucified with Christ. It's not me that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. But I still have to live the life in the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God. Again, gospel. There's a whole sandwich there. Amen. So first you remind yourself of what Christ has done and who you are because of that. Preach to yourself. You can do what it takes because Christ has done what it takes. Amen. Now next, what you do? You remind yourself of who you used to be and what that old self and that old nature were like. See, you see, that's the thing. We don't actually look it in the face. We don't say, I was a murderer. I was a liar. I have a problem with this. I used to do this. This is what happened. I know it's tough, but people don't do that. And they don't want to pray, oh, Lord, help me with this, that, and the other thing. Have you really stopped and looked at it? It's ugly. But see, that's the thing. It's that spiritual neediness that drives you to the foot of the cross. And the spiritual neediness is the foundation for all change. And then to accept that change, look, child, look, this is the Xbox. We are plugging this thing in. This is Call of Duty or whatever game, and I'm starting to play that. Here, this is how you do, get, you know, you got to get with it. You remind yourself of who you used to be and what that old self and that old nature were like. What does Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 say? You were driven by the direction of the world, the designs of the devil, and the desires of your own nature, but God. in Christ has made you alive. See, I already know this. Not good enough. Amen. And if you do know it, you still preach to yourself. Amen. Peyton Manning can't say, well, I know how to throw a football. He has to throw the football. Even after he's retired. I'm sure he's throwing the football somewhere. With his kids, his grandkids, all that. I used to be holy. Really? Driven by the direction of the world, designs the devil, desire the old spiritually dead nature. Remind yourself that the old ways of seeking happiness through sin were wrong and fruitless. See that old sin for what it is. See that fear for what it is. You're not given to the spirit of fear, again, to bondage. Power, love, and self-control. A sound mind. I'm telling you, you think, I can't make it to church because it's raining. How come everybody else can? Reckon yourself. Preach to yourself. I just can't do it. Not now, maybe you can't because you're starting out that way. Preach yourself in the morning. I may have trouble with the toilet, but I'm going to wear that diaper. And I'm going to make it to church because God wants me to make it there. And if I have an accident, well, it's to the glory of God because I'm going to make it anyway. Now you say, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm willing to be embarrassed. This isn't a place where everybody's all squeaky clean and all that. Look around. Thank you, Jesus. If you're looking for that church, you went to the wrong one. Now, we want some good-looking people. Yeah. But we have to have some others. Not because I'm short, Peter. Stop that. But that's the thing. We're so worried about whatever else is going on around us and not what Jesus has done for us. Now, if you're going to go to the hospital, please just go to the hospital and worship Jesus there. I get that. But we have these fears and these doubts and these worries, and then we rehearse them first thing in the morning and then go to Jesus. Jesus, please help me with this. And He's like, the Xbox is already there. Get in the game. You're in the game. Greatness awaits, whatever. See the sin for what it is. Remind yourself how happy God is. How happy He wants you to be. How happy following Him really is. You know God and how happy it is to love and be loved by someone as happy as God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God? Yes. Saints in the hands of a happy God. Amen. God is the source of all true and lasting joy. And so, you know, you're saying, this is what God has done. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to wind up being fully. And I'm starting that way now. And I live for Christ. Said, I don't really, but you're preaching to yourself. First time someone preached to you about sin, you didn't say, well, I'm going to accept Jesus now. You're like, you can't tell me what to do. Until God opened your heart. Let Him open your heart and say, this is who I really am in Jesus Christ. This is who I was. But that person is not who I want to be. And so you point out to yourself. That's the next thing. You're pointing out to yourself the inconsistency of living like that old self. You're saying, yesterday and the day before and in my old life, I wanted to look at that thing, do that thing, pick that thing up, think that thing. And that's not what, that's not going to me to heaven. I don't want it with me now. Again, you remind yourself, you preach yourself, living like that old self, inconsistent with the new self that you're born again to be and will be in eternity. Preach to yourself, you don't want that old self. You start, preach to yourself who God is and who He's made you to be. He is God, He's a creator, He's a sustainer, He is the just and the justifier, He's the reconciler of the whole universe. He's Lord. And He says, I'm His child. I'm a new creation in Christ. And I may not feel that way, and I may not have done those things, but this is the way that I'm headed, and I'm going that way. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I know that old life that I used to drink and smoke and cuss and kill and pill and do whatever else. But that didn't ultimately satisfy me. And those things that I had a little bit of enjoyment with, I see we're not fruitful in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be that. That stuff's not going to heaven. That stuff doesn't last. That's not from God. And I want more God, so I want less of that. finally, you finish by resolving to avoid that sin completely. Live like the new self today. So you're not going to listen to anything that tries to change your mind. As soon as you get up, you don't just say, "Oh Lord, I'm so weak." You pray first. No, you preach to yourself first. That's the lesson for today. And you don't just get up and listen to all the social media and all the news and all this other thing. You have all your own worries. Oh, so then you watch the news and it gets even worse. Let's have a little cup of rage in the morning. Yeah. You got to preach to yourself. You don't have to lie. See, it's almost like in that text, don't lie to other people. Don't lie to God. You say, but I'm not like that yet. But you're preaching just because that's the way you are going to be. And that's who He's made you to be. And that's the way the life that you want to live. And you want to put off the old man. Let me tell you something. William Gurnall, a Puritan in the 1600s, wrote a book called The Complete Christian, The Christian in Complete Armor. And he said, hypocrisy is too thin a veil to blind the eyes of God. He sees your heart. And what does He say about you? I've changed your heart. That old man, that zombie trying to eat your brains out. Get thought right. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't pray about it. Preach it to yourself. Then you can come to me praying in faith. Amen. Do you hear me? Yes. You're not going to listen to anything that wants to change your mind. See, that's the point. I'm going to Disney World. There's a fire at Disney World. I'm going to Disney World. Well, you don't have the money to go to Disney World. Don't even start talking to the devil. Since you start talking to him, you lose. There's an old Arab proverb. Oh, I'm going there. It says, if the camel's nose is in the tent, the camel's in the tent. Right? So as soon as they started talking to the devil, Adam and Eve, they lost. Get your mind. His face is set like flint. Right? For the joy set before Him, etc., etc. We're not better than Jesus. We want to be following Jesus. And He doesn't turn to the left or right. Right? You're not going to leave any room for that sin. That's how you start your day. And you still got to learn to do it. You still got to work this out. I'm just talking about the start. Instead of starting your day with a desperate prayer, start your day by preaching yourself to the sovereign God and what He has done and what He said you can do. And you might not do it perfectly, but you can do it purposefully. And the way you start it is by preaching to yourself. Then you go to prayer. Can you hear me? Again, you still got to learn through the day what stimulates your spiritual life and run to it, and find what stifles your spiritual life and run from it. That's the Christian life. But if you don't start your day right, well, it's less likely to end right. But too many Christians, far too many people, instead of starting their day by preaching to themselves about who God says they are, they start by listening to what everybody else says. We start by rehearsing our worries, our doubts, our fears, and our failures. I've got 12 hours here to work, and it's just no good, and I'm still trying to get a check. They haven't paid me, and this isn't working, and all. I mean, you got those things are still coming at you. Why not get a dose of Jesus before you go? And not only just reading your Bible and praying, I'm talking about preaching to yourself. Get it in you. We start by rehearsing our worries, our doubts, our fears, our failures. We think of all the ways we've been doing things wrong, or how we don't have what it takes to do it right. We think today is going to be a bad day. We're going to sin the same way we just always do. We think of all our troubles, and then we listen to all the troubles going on in the world. Again, the computer, the TV, the newspaper, the social media, the radio, whatever. You go from thing to thing to thing. Bad news. Oh, I'll try this. Bad news. I'll try this. Bad news. It's like you're a magnet for it. But in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. I'm not saying you're the head, not the tail, everything's going to go perfect. No. I'm saying that all things work together for you that love God, that are called according to His purpose. So it may not feel good, but it's still working towards good. Preach it to yourself. Because somebody well-meaning that won't hit you right, they'll say, Romans 8, 28, it won't hit you right. Do yourself a favor. Preach it to yourself first. Yeah. I already know all that. No, you don't. You know the verses. If you're not preaching to yourself, you need to think about that. It doesn't say pray here. It says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It says think about it. Think about it. Preach it to yourself. You hear all these voices in our head, and they drown out God's word about you, and no wonder you stay defeated. When you get up in the morning, don't let that old self try to resurrect and get on top of you again. Throw that zombie off. It's dead. Don't let it eat your brain. Don't pray for him to go. Throw him off by preaching him off. You get it? That's what it is. Brains. I'm trying to do that for the kids. No, the kids are gone or whatever. Zombies. It's like that. The best way to start your day is not by praying, but by preaching. And by that, I don't mean listening to some other preacher. I mean to preach to your own self. Yes, pray every morning before you head out the door or get the kids ready for school or whatever. But I mean to tell you, you might be spending a lot of time in the morning and all day, every day, asking God to do something He's already done. Don't let someone turn that into, you got to have this, you can have that, and you're the head, and you're this, and old Christians are this. No. I'm talking about something God has said. What does it say in this? It says you have put off the old man, now put him on and put him off in practice. Put on the new man in practice. It's not talking about this, that, and the other thing. It's not talking about your best life now and junk like that. It's talking about the Jesus life right now. And what that means? Giving glory to God. What does that mean? Revealing His character by your character. What does that mean? It means when things aren't going so good, Jesus is coming out. Whenever you get squozen, as our friend says, the Jesus juice comes out. That's who you are inside. That's where the seed is. You've got that old man. Don't feed him. Mortify him. Don't feed him. I don't know how to kill him. Don't feed him. You'll learn. But I know you can't get it all done today. I can't help you get it all done today, but I can help you start. How do you start? You preach to yourself. You remind yourself who Jesus is, who God is, what He's done for you, what He says you can do. You say, this is what my old life was. You face it right in the face. Say, I see you, but I'm through with you. And then you resolve. Say, Lord, through this day, when I see things that are going to promote that spiritual life and get me away from that bottle, get me away from that magazine, get me away from that anger, get me away from that bitterness, get me away from that contempt, get me away from that fear, I'm running that way. When something says, just start to whisper fear, whisper anything, I drown that thing out and I run away from it. Flee it. Flee idolatry. Perhaps you're waiting for some feeling. Like you can do it. Oh, zap. But God has already given you the means to do it. You're waiting on an experience, but you already have the experience, although you may not feel like it. You're in position to win. And you already have what you need because of Christ, what He has done. But now you need to experience it, not as a feeling, but as a dealing, as a practical matter in your life. See, He says it right there in the text. It is right there in the text. It doesn't say pray in the text. That's why I'm bringing it up. That's not an argument from science. That's an argument from it's not there. That's a little different. But anyway, He says, you have put off the old man. You have put on the new man. Don't lie. Put it off in practice. He knows the old man's still there trying to hound you. The world, the flesh, and the devil are trying to envelop you. Start your day off by preaching to yourself. It's time to act. Before you pray and ask God to keep you and deliver you and all that, remind yourself of whose you are and who you are. Preach the truth to yourself. If you pray first, saying, I'm just so weak, I can't do it, well, in that miserable mindset, you're not praying in the Spirit. That's a prayer of unbelief. It's not a renewed mind. You're not taking God at His Word, not believing His Word. You're praying as if God hasn't done what He said He's done. You're leaving the Xbox sitting there on the floor. As if He's left you powerless. And that does not honor God. People can give you a lot of sympathy. Oh, I'm praying for you too. Preach about them. Say, I hope, I pray that they learn that this is true of them. They can preach it to themselves. This is who this person is. Even if they won't hear it, and you can say it out loud about them. God loves you. God has redeemed you, forgiven you, delivered you, transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous Son, and qualified you to be an inheritance of the saints in life. You can't really pray until your mind is clear on who God is and what He's done and what He says you can do. And you need it every morning. I need it every morning. And when I don't do it right, there goes the day. And when I do it right, here comes the day. So you preach to yourself first and thank God for what He's done. The devil and your own self-doubt will try and fill you with all kinds of counter-information and desperation before you get out of bed. So you need to counteract that and attack first thing and remind yourself of the truth. Hear it this way. Don't let the devil frame your day. Don't let the devil frame your day. Don't let the devil take your fears, your worries, your concerns, which may be real and perceptive to you and all that. Don't let him take that and say, this is what your day looks like. It's full of fear. This is what your day looks like. It's full of, you know, God's not going to help you. Oh, you're just not praying long enough. He'd love to have you praying all day and not out there in the battle. Oh, I can't make it to church. Let that get in the air right there. You think about that. I'm always sick every Sunday morning at this hour. I'll tell you why. Am I your enemy because I've told you the truth? Preach to yourself. Don't let the devil frame your day. You can stop the sinning and start the winning. You can stop the whining and start the winning. Preach to yourself when you get up in the morning. First thing, make it a holy habit. The way you stop your stinking thinking is to start your day this way. This isn't some simple positive mental exercise, positive mental attitude. No, this is a biblical pattern and a principle. This is saying what God says is true for you. I'm not the old man. I'm the new man. And so when that new old man wants to get on top of me, I can throw him off. That's not the way I'm going. I have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch. I'm not afraid of those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul. I'm looking at God. That's where my fear is. But He says, do not fear. This is not just an affirmation, it's also a challenge. God calls you to do the improbable and the impossible. But you can do it because He's for you. Jesus Christ lived and died for you, not just to save your soul, but to redeem your life. The power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are meant to inspire and empower you to do His will in any and every situation. That's God's call in your life. No, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to do it perfectly. But now let's get real. Let's do some business here. Ready? What's that thing you want to be rid of? How about that for your New Year's resolution? What's that thing you want to be rid of? Is it pornography? Is it alcohol? Is it anger? Is it violence? Is it lying? Is it gossip? Is it gluttony? What is it? Remind yourself of what Christ has done and who He's made you to be and how that thing isn't going with you to eternity. Encourage yourself, exhort yourself that you can live today without it and how Christ wants you to live today without it. How you can be closer to Him today and how He's done what it takes for that to happen today. Now at the end of the day, you keep a short account. Tell Him how you might have blown it, but how you're going to keep pressing on and pressing in because He has made the way and He is the way and that's the way you're going, so you're going to follow Him all the way. That's how you frame your day. Then as you come to bed, you pray, reminding yourself that God is sovereign and you're not. Tell Him that you put yourself in His care and ask for His gift of sleep. It is futile to eat the bread of anxious toil, for He gives His beloved sleep. Then when you get up in the morning, you preach to yourself all over again and you watch yourself go and you watch yourself grow. How do you start your day? You preach to yourself. You preach the truth to yourself. I'm not sure if I'm even a believer anymore. Preach to yourself. I'm just not sure God is there. Preach to yourself. All kind of people have doubts and you'll have them too. If you're not, you're not a Christian. Boom. There you go. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. God's sure. My faith is in Him and what He has done. And it's not just making myself better. He's the one that does it. But you've got to go about the way He says. He says, this is what's happened because of Christ. This is what you can do. You don't need to pray about it. You can be praying about it. But you start by preaching about it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put it off. Put it off. Put away all these things. You can just focus on Colossians 3, 8 through 10 this week until the end of the year and say, this is what I'm going to do. And maybe lying is your deal. Maybe you've been lying to yourself saying, I'm not what God wants me to be. You are what He wants you to be. You're His child. If you've trusted Him. Are you trusting Him? All that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Preach the truth to yourself. That's the best way to start your day. Heavenly Father, you have qualified us. You have delivered us and transferred us, redeemed us and forgiven us. You have given us as Christians the divine power, the divine nature, and the divine promises that we can add to our faith, that we can, in practice, put off that old man and put on that new man. Lord, in the spirit of our minds, Lord, help us to rehearse this to ourselves and amongst ourselves for your glory. And in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.